Hello to all of our digital listeners today. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Today we are back looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we're going to finish up Jesus' Sermon on the Mount today. Let's turn together over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, last week we left off on verse 11, discussing how God is good and supplies all of our needs according to what we need. Now today, we are going to pick up where we left off at verse 12, but we are going to read verses 7 through 12 for context. And again, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Let's open today with prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that we have to look into the scriptures here together. I pray, Lord God, for those that are listening and for myself, that you would fill us with your understanding. Help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to discern the text, to be able to clearly understand what it is that you're trying to teach us today. I pray, Lord, that you would convict us for the things that we need to get right in our lives. Help us to remove the things that need to be removed. Help us to repent of the things that need to be repent of. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to change today to be a little bit more like you. We thank you for all these things. In your name I pray. Amen. So looking at our text today, in verses 7 through 11, Jesus is showing us that we know how to give good things, even in our sinful state, even though we are not perfect like God the Father. Now, a good father wants to do good for his children, and we should have that philosophy as we help and care for others. Now, here in verse 12, Jesus gives us what we know of as the golden rule. Do to others as you would want them to do to you. This is a good overall rule for everyone. Something specific in this verse is the last bit. It says here, "For this is the law and the prophet." In other words, this one phrase is the summary of the moral teaching of the law of Moses and the prophets of Israel. Do good to others. Do good to everyone, regardless of who they are or what they have done. Now, some people look at the golden rule as, "I will do good for someone, but if they come back and are not good to me, then I won't do good for them again." But what does Jesus say to that? He says, "Forgive man 70 times 7. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Not just do good when it benefits you, but always do good for others, because when you do good, you are pleasing God. Now, we do not see much of this in the world today. People are increasingly pessimistic and seem to more and more do good for themselves, for their benefit alone, and care very little how they treat others. Now, the Bible warns us that the world will increasingly respond that way as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, what the Bible refers to as the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." Now, for the gospel believer, we should not be named in this list. We should be a stark difference. we should do good to others as we would want them to do good for us. Well, let's continue here in our text in verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, the narrow gate, the small passage, and the difficult road is the road that we take to partake in God's eternal life. It is also the path that we travel on throughout our life, and there are few who find it. Now, Jesus is giving us a glimpse here. If you think heaven is going to be busting at the seams with people, if you think the average person in his own goodness is going to make it to heaven, even if you think that most people are genuinely a Christian, think again. This very description shows us the philosophy that people are basically good is not true. Even though God has forgiven all of mankind, even though Jesus went to the cross to forgive everyone's sin that wants them forgiven, guess what? There are going to be few that take the path to God. Jesus tells us that the gate and the road that leads to destruction is wide and broad, and there will be many who follow that way. And this is a good description of following the choice or not for those who choose to be a believer of God. However, remember that Jesus is addressing the future church here, future gospel believers, not the lost. So what is Jesus telling us today? Jesus is informing gospel believers that if we want to really grow in Him, the road is going to be difficult. It's going to be long. It's going to be narrow. And we will have very few people that we could stand side by side with along the journey. And even many times, it will seem like we are all alone. But God is with us, and He is blessing us, and He is building in us something so much more greater than we could ever imagine when we put our trust in Him and learn to have joy within the journey of life, regardless of our circumstances. Now think about this in correlation with what we talked about last week. In order for us to walk this narrow and difficult road, we must keep our eyes fixed on God and not on the path that is before us. God will help us to overcome our greatest obstacles, but we will never reach the other side if we are constantly focusing on all of the bad things and hurtful things in our lives. When we face the hardships and we distract ourselves, we have not overcome anything. The hardships will keep coming. They come for everyone. But we need to learn how to overcome these hardships. Paul gave us the answer. We recognize that God's grace is enough, and then we practice putting all of our faith and love into God over our own personal needs or wants. And we always have a choice: follow God or choose our natural tendency to follow our own thoughts or our own desires and our own limited and wicked imaginations. And we again get in that inner tube and get on the lazy river of life. We will be surrounded by tons of people, and it will seem more comfortable not being changed by God until the problems come and we don't know how to handle them. We don't know how to trust in God because we really have not been putting those truths into practice. And the people who are on that broad road that leads to destruction are those without Jesus Christ in their lives. There are many Christians today that like to hang out in that spot, not to outreach, but to just exist. Because it's easy to be a Christian here because you are not confronted with sin. And when you indulge in your sin with everyone else, it makes things so much easier. Let's keep moving in the text. Look with me at verse 15. Jesus continues, He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." This leads us back into the discernment that we were discussing in the first few verses of this chapter. We need to be discerning in who we share the gospel with. We need to be discerning in how we respond to the Lord in different situations and even how to respond to others. And then we need to be discerning of those that may be coming into our lives or our ministry. Jesus tells us that there will be those who try to enter our lives or even our church who seem innocent, those in sheep's clothing, but in reality they are dangerous, like ravenous wolves. How will we know if someone has good intentions or bad intentions? And Jesus tells us in the next verse, look with me at verse 16. Jesus says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" So we will know these false teachers by their fruits. Now let's talk about that for just a moment. The illustration is used several times in the New Testament about gospel believers being a tree and the importance of producing good fruit. But what is fruit? Well, fruit-bearing trees naturally grow fruit. They produce it. It is a product of their nature. If the tree is good and healthy, then it will bear good fruit that is bright in color and full of flavor. If the tree, however, is sick or damaged, it can produce fruit that is misshaped, underdeveloped, and sour-tasting fruit. We all produce something. The result of what we do in life shows the quality of our fruit. If there is goodness in our heart, we will do good things. If our hearts are wicked, we will do questionable or bad things. If our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will produce godly things. You know, hold your finger here for just a moment in the text and turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, here in Galatians chapter 5, we see a list of the fruits of the Spirit, the good things that are produced through a life that is living with the Holy Spirit at its central core. The Apostle Paul says here in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, for those of us who are living to please God and work to live by what the Scripture says, we will grow and mature in the Lord through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The good fruit that we will bear will show by us loving others, by having joy even amidst terrible circumstances, by having peace even in the trials of life, by being patient over a long period of time, by being kind to others, regardless of who they are, by being overall good, by being faithful to the Lord and others, by being gentle and showing gentleness to others, and by having self-control in many areas of our lives. Now, this is all good fruit. Now, in comparison, we can also see what is bad fruit. Let's backtrack a little bit in this text and look at a life that does not have the Holy Spirit at its core. Look with me at verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, these fruits are those produced by the flesh. These are bad fruits ungodly fruits. Every item listed in this list are considered sins, and most of these items are things that the average person commits in their normal, everyday life. Notice again verses 24 through 25 here in Galatians 5. It says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now, those who want to have that relationship with Christ, who want to know Him on a deep level, have set aside the fleshly desires of the world. In fact, they have more than set them aside. They have crucified them. They have removed them, burned them out, and continue every day to put into practice living for the Lord through the help of the Holy Spirit. And that is what walking in the Spirit is, trusting God and pursuing forward, giving up the fleshly lusts of this world in order that we may know God on a deeper level and grow and mature in Him. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 and look with me again, starting at verse 16. Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So here we see in the text that good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. And we will know who those false teachers, who those ravenous wolves are, not by the niceties that they begin in conversation, but by the fruit of their labors. Notice what happens to the tree that only produced bad fruit. They are cut down and thrown into the fire. Because what good is it to only have bad fruit? Eating bad fruit is not good to anyone. It makes you sick. It prevents you from making good fruit. Now, good fruit reproduces to more good fruit. Bad fruit reproduces to sickly and unusable fruit. Now, this tree is destined for the fire. And I think a good question here for us to ask ourselves is whether or not we produce good fruit. You know, Galatians gave us the answer for what to look for in regards to what we are producing. Now, there are many who believe that they are good and that they honor God and that they produce good fruit. But what does God say? Well, look with me at verse 21. Actually, let's backtrack to verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So we will know them by their fruits. And God says here again here, Jesus continues in verse 21, says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So first of all, make note, Jesus says that only those who do the will of God the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, only those who live for God, who trust Him, who acknowledge Him as their God, and who honor His Son will be able to join in the family celebrations in heaven. Look with me at verse 22. Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, there will be many who believe in God, who have done things in the name of God or in the name of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus identifies here that just because you call on the name of God when you are doing something does not mean that you are obedient to God. There are many today that identify with God by saying that His message is meaningful or it resonates with Him or even that they believe that He is real. But these same people do not seek to know Him. They do not seek to be obedient to Him. They will live in the world with fleshly things and still wear that cross around their neck as if to say they are on God's side, but they have not made that commitment. Now consider how Luke describes this in Luke chapter 13, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you, where you are from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.'" In verse 28, it says, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out." I've met many people over the years that believe that because their parents are Christians, or because they go to church, or because they know other gospel believers, that some kind of holiness transfers to them and they are part of the family of God. Now think about the text here in Luke chapter 13. These people were at the parties that Jesus was at. They were at the weddings in Cana. They were with him eating meals with Matthew and Zacchaeus. They were with the in crowd. Their expectation is that being in the presence of Jesus merits them a free ride into heaven. And yet what happens? They are denied entrance and they weep and gnash their teeth. We cannot just place our trust in an idea. We have to place our full trust in God. The Apostle Paul shows us the way in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. He says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now there are many, many people who believe for a moment. They say a prayer and they make a commitment. And then they move forward, occasionally trusting God, occasionally loving God, occasionally obeying God. But believing in God and trusting in him is not a momentary action, but a lifelong commitment. Salvation is not based on saying a prayer, but what you do in action after the prayer is said. I believe that there will be a great many people that will stand before God who said a prayer, but never put it into action. And he will say to them, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And that will be a terrible, scary time of weeping, as the Bible says, a gnashing of teeth, when you realize that you did not get your pass into heaven because you did not do things God's way. Instead, you kind of just went the way that everyone else is going. And that should be a caution for us today. Don't go the way that everyone else is going, because the Bible describes it already. The way everyone else is going is the broad way. And it is the way that leads to destruction. If you want to know God, seek him out. Go to the Bible, go to the book of John, go to the book of Romans. You will find the way there. Reach out to us here at Campbell Bible Church. We will show you the way. Don't take the way that everybody else is going, but instead follow the narrow path. Be cautious. You're going to need to take the way that not everyone else is taking, the right road. The road that may be difficult, but it will lead to eternal life with Jesus Christ. Well, let's continue here in our text. Look with me at verse 24. Jesus is closing out here his study as he is speaking to his disciples. And Jesus encourages everyone that hears what he has to say, including us today, to do these things that he has called us to do here in chapters 5 through 7. Look with me at verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Now, Jesus is showing us here that we need to follow him. We need to take what he has said seriously. And if we do these things, our foundation will be strong. Even when the circumstances and trials of life come, even when the path of life is painful, we will not fall apart because we have a rock-solid foundation on the Lord. However, if we do not listen to his word, or we take it lightly and apply maybe some of it, but do not take it very seriously, then when we are faced with the difficulties of life, we will fall, and will fall greatly. When we build the right kind of foundation on God, when we are living by the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can face the turmoil of tomorrow because God will take care of us. He is always good to those who love and serve him. Now, two things that are vital for us to consider today in closing. First is whether or not you have made a real commitment to God. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? Have you accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior? And are you living for him today? Now, if you're not sure, I would encourage you to come talk to me. Or for our online listeners, you can check out the link to Jesus at the top of this page. Do not waste the opportunity to know God. We only have one life to give, and to know God, when it is gone, we have lost that opportunity. We will be weeping. We will gnash our teeth because we have been left out. We have been left out because we have chosen not to take the right road. Second, ask yourself today, do I have any of the fleshly fruits listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21? These are reflections of those without Christ. This will give you a good indicator of where you stand with the Lord and what you need to get right. And for those who are gospel believers, what does the fruit look like that you are producing? Are you producing real love, real joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Jesus is teaching us here through his whole Sermon on the Mount. These are all great reminders for us to take a hard look at what kind of fruit that we are producing and doing our best to change what needs to be changed for the better. If you go back to the beginning of this study of the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew chapter 5, you will see again and again and again Jesus teaching how to produce the right kind of fruit. He never teaches how to have bad fruit. He only teaches to uproot the things in your life that need not be there so that you can have the best kind of fruit. Let me encourage you today, choose God. Choose his love, his goodness, his mercy, and his unfailing forgiveness and care for you. Choose to have joy within the trials and struggles, and look for God within these trials. He is there, shaping us to be more conformed to his image. Life is so much better with God. Change your perspective today. Take your thoughts off of you and put them on God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us opportunities to trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that oftentimes you give us not just one chance, but a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. You continue to give us opportunities to learn who you are, to get off of that wide and broad road that leads to destruction and to get on the narrow path. Lord, I pray that we would look to the right places. I pray that we would look to your word. I pray that we would look to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, Lord God, that you opened up the door for Jesus to come to this earth to be a man like a humankind like the rest of us, Lord, and that we could see how we can face sin just as he faced sin, Lord, and conquer it. And we thank you, Lord, that he went to the cross, that he died on the cross for our sins to pay the debt of our sin that we could not pay on our own. We thank you, Lord God, that you have provided all of this for us. I pray for those who are listening. I pray that for those that don't know for sure that when they die, they'd be in heaven, that you would lead them to repentance, Lord. Use the Holy Spirit to guide them. I pray, Lord, that they would let go of what sin is in their lives, that they would repent of it, that they would desire to have it removed. Lord, that they would want to get rid of it for your sake. I pray that they would ask forgiveness of their sins to you, Lord, and that they would commit to following you, loving you, and serving you, and commit to doing that just not in prayer, Lord, but after prayer, really living life committed to you. And Lord, we know that's how you've called us, what you've called us to, and we know that that's what's going to produce good fruit in our lives is to continually, every day, work on getting rid of that sin that doesn't need to be there in our lives in order that we may serve you better. Lord, I pray that you would make us into better servants of you. Help us to live for you and to give up whatever it is that's holding us back, whatever that's holding us back from trusting in you more, from loving you more, to understanding you more. And we thank you, Lord, that you continue to provide for us and continue to encourage us through your word. Help us not to give up on you. Help us, Lord, to trust in you so that we may see you closer to us every day. And we thank you, Lord, for providing for us and for continuing to teach us your word and your goodness. I pray, Lord, that we would live for you even today. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.